I listened to, was it yesterday? It might have been today. A night in the Friday night in the Promised Land. Yeah, a Friday night in the Promised Land. And that's really about, what really fulfills us and satisfies us in terms of, all the in-between times when we're either seeking the Lord or we're in assembly time. What really fulfills us? And he really addresses that. And in Psalm 16, he quotes this on numerous occasions throughout that message, life in the prom life Friday night see a fr life on Friday night in the Promised Land, because Friday night is when people usually, they take that's a time off and they can just kind of do whatever they want. I don't mean sinfully, but kind of natural, or what do we do to fill in our lives when we're not, living out the reality of this verse, Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence, in the Hebrew for presence is face, the faces of God, all the different ways in which he presents himself. In thy presence is the fullness of joy, and in thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And he asked the question, if someone looks at you and points to that verse and says, "Is that true in your life?" What are you going to say? You're either going to be able to demonstrate that and manifest that, or it's just a verse in the Bible, like so many other verses in the Bible. And he said, 4 years ago, he used to watch different movies and things. I mean, there weren't evil movies.
Sports.
Sports was this big thing, and he was at one of these places where you rent videos, and he was going to get some innocuous thing. He says, "Oh, are you the Eric Luty that wrote the book so and so?" And he said, and he had there's the list of all the movies. And so him and his wife Leslie determined that from that point on, that they were going to give the Lord the opportunity to make this flesh in their life. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. And so as of 4 years ago, which was whenever that was done, 2011, that'd be five or 6 years now. so this could be flesh. The word become flesh. And so as I listen to that message, then I follow that up with upside down crosses this morning, and it is quite a revelation of what worship is, and what worship is in terms of being a living sacrifice to the Lord, and exchanging who we are for who he is, and what that represents. But if there's going to if it's going to be true in our lives that in thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, then Paul's words in, what is it, Philippians 1, was it 121, 122? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We have to take serious inventory to see if we can say that about ourselves. Also, John says, whoever, the one who says he abides in him is obligated himself to walk, to conduct his life in the same manner. Literally, just as he walked. Just as he walked. So that's impossible. Unless we're abiding in him. And if we do abide in him, then others are going to see Jesus. They're going to see this kind of a reality. And when Jesus said in John chapter 6, he said in verse 26 or 23, we looked at this before. You are from below and I am from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. It's in John 6, or excuse me, John 8 in verse 23. It's my eyes do not, they betray what I'm looking at. So then if we are abiding in him, people can say, well, so-and-so's from above. we're from below. It's very obvious that we are not of this world. The things which I heard from him, verse 26, these things I speak to the world. That's walking as he walked. I speak the things as the Father taught me, verse 28. And verse 29, and he who sent me is with me, and he who has left me, he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Of course, John 4, I have food that you know nothing of, for my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So, there is that reality in Jesus Christ. And of course, John 17, he makes the statement in John 17, verse 16, 17, 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not, ek, out from the source of the world. Sanctify them, truth is truth. John 14, 6, I am the truth. As thou didst send me in the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. I set myself apart as unique and separate and holy unto the Lord, to the Father as a Son of Man. For their sakes, I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified, set apart in the truth. So how sanctified are we? I think we're just, there's a whole ocean and we may be ankle deep. We're not even knee deep. We're not even waist deep. Not even shoulder deep. We see the rise of the water in the coming out of the Ezekiel temple in Ezekiel 40 through 48. You see that it increases until it becomes a mighty flood. And then we have this statement in Colossians, which is all true of Paul. This was not theoretical for Paul. In John, Ephesians 4, he talks about the truth as it is in Jesus. So he prays in Colossians 1, 9, Colossians 1, 9, for this reason, that is, because of your love in the Spirit, the love that you have in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled. Filled. So filling requires emptying. John 3:30, I must decrease in order that he might increase. Or he must increase and I must decrease. Increase means to grow. Grow in us. So he prays that you may be filled with the epinosis knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, comprehensive insight, where you're able to discern the good from the best, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That is 1 John 2:6, walk as he walked, with a view to pleasing him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing into the full knowledge of God. So there's growing into the full knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, or his glorious might, with a view to attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. So we're talking about spiritual reality that for our whole history is, to whatever degree, has just been a spectator. We believed it, we've embraced the truth, but like Eric says, you can be given something, and I can give you a $20 bill, and he says over and over, and I'll lay it down here on the stage and say it's yours, and you can have your name on it, and you can walk off. Or there's a banquet in the back room, and if you don't accept by faith and reckon it by faith, you'll never partake of it, even though you believe it true. So how much truth have we believed, and we have never entered into that place where Paul defines in Ephesians 4, 21 and following, being taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, being renewed in the spirit of your mind. There are strongholds in our midst. There's been strongholds in me that doesn't represent biblical faith that enters in. Christ is the promised land. To whatever degree we are not living out from him and demonstrating him and not just verbal acceptance and acquiescence of truth, but actually where others can look at us and see Jesus Christ, we are in a state of poverty. To whatever measure others cannot see Jesus Christ in us, hear Jesus Christ in us, we are living in a state of poverty. We are unbelieving believers. That's where we are. And there needs to be massive repentance. So as of, I think that the Friday night in the Promised Land, that should exercise people to, okay, where's our pleasure, where's our fulfillment? And then today, we're going to be looking at the testimony that was taken from Maurice Howell's book, chapter 5. He's going to read the whole chapter, and the heavenly place. And when I think about, you know, even what I just listened to, and ironically or providentially, Dan listened to the same message this morning. Upside down crosses, just really, really very, very powerful. As we listen to this message today, it should define us. Here's where we've come from. Then there's today, and then there's the rest of our time on earth after today. If it's not that kind of event, we are accepting the truth, but if we're not changed, then we are unbelieving believers. We do not have faith. We're not living by faith in the Son of God. So I ask the Lord to show us where we need to repent, that is, have a change of attitude that is going to be evidenced by a new direction. So for me, yesterday, I mean, after we did the work, I just was sitting there and I was watching. There's this particular movie on, and I didn't even watch it all. There was one with Steve McQueen, some old thing, and I watched part of it, and this other one's kind of a swashbuckler thing. But it was, you know, the little bit that I watched, it was a gateway to the world system. If you look at 1 John chapter 2, I mean, we can read this and say, yeah, I believe this is true. But does it change what we do? See? And John, 1 John 2:15, do not love the world. That is the whole world that in chapter 5, verse 19, lies in the sphere and in the power of the evil one, lies relaxed on the broad road to destruction. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So love of the Father, that genitive can be love for the Father. That can be true. If it's a dynamic genitive, you don't have the love for the Father, nor do you have the love of the Father for Jesus. See, it can be a dynamic genitive. It can be an objective, subjective. So both are true. The love of the Father is not in him. That could be a part of our, at the core of our problem. If we are not properly separated from, through the cross, I glory in none other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which cross I've been crucified the world unto me, in Galatians 6. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. So only thing that's done in Christ and in doing God's will, I always do those things I see my Father doing. It's a body you have prepared for me in Hebrews 10:5 and following. Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, a body you have prepared for me. Lo, I have come. It is written in the scroll of the book concerning me to do your will, O God. That's doing the will of God. So if we abide in him, the will of God will be done in him through us, and that will abide forever. Whatever is not, whatever represents the time of, that we have lived in the flesh or in the natural man, and instead of abiding in Christ, it's dead time. It will not appear in eternity. So may this bring about a choice today as you follow up with Friday Night in the Promised Land, and some of these other wonderful messages, God has raised up Eric to embody that which represents a transition from Adam to Christ. I was talking with Mark Isbell the other day, and I said, you know, I've known all these things, but I've never heard so clearly the way out of Adam to Christ. What steps do I need to take responsibility before so that I actually experientially come out of Adam into Christ? I just will hear it, I believe it, and, you know, and go on, and certain things don't change. There's not victory over sin, or there's not the reality of what we've heard for years. Well, he talks about over and over and over again how to come out of Adam into Christ. I've never heard it. I'm not saying Major Thomas didn't proclaim it. I'm not saying that. I just never heard it. If he did, I heard it. I never heard from Major Thomas how that which is true, for me to live as Christ and die as gain, how do you get there? I never heard so clearly the way. And it's, who's the Lord of our bodies? That's where it begins. That's what you get from Eric Liddy. Who is the Lord of this body? What you eat, what you see, what you do? Who's the Lord? Starts right there. If our bodies are a living sacrifice or they're not, it starts right there. That's our reasonable, rational service of worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you see. So, it's very, very real, and man, we don't have a lot of time left. So, we need to really be radical towards allowing God to define where daily we're walking in repentance, where He is not practically the Lord of our bodies. Because He's the Lord of our body, He will be the Lord of our spirit and the Lord of our soul. You see? If He's the Lord of our body, He has the other domains that make up our identity. So we do commit this time to the Lord, that we should be what He desires in our life. Do you have any thoughts or comments?
No, just about... Yeah, when I went through the upside down crosses, is one thing he used as an illustration is having seen a sunset and then communicating it to someone else and telling them they should worship because of the sunset. He said, if you've never seen the sunset, you can't truly worship it. And of course, the sunset in his example represented having seen Jesus Christ in His glory. And it put it in such a way, I looked at my life and I said, I've had inklings of the sunset, inklings of Christ, which are in and of themselves transforming. But because of the association, the different things in my life, I've not been able to stay, I'll say, in the remembrance of what that means. But it was so easy to come away from it and say, this is what I saw. And this is what I must have a picture of. It has to do, obviously, with martyrdom and, you know, sacrificing. He gives 10 points. And, of course, the last number 9 is really, you know, to allow the Lord to take into that which would represent being martyred for Christ. And as I thought about these things, it's like this does not happen overnight. Except in the over in one of those countries in the Middle East where a person is saved and immediately brought to a point of martyrdom, and we've heard many occasions of those, then the Lord's His grace truly abounds to them. But over here where we are, we have the opportunity to discover Christ and to move experientially from the earthly realm to the heavenly realm. Because out of the heavenly realm, those martyrs in the first century were able to go out into the arena where the wild animals were waiting to maul them and to sing worshipful praises, because they were more in the heavens than they were on the earth. I said, well, however much time I've got left, I want to discover what it means to live in the heavens and to be done with this earth and everything that represents the earthly realm.
Well, we'll go through this message today, and we ask the Lord to open our eyes and then follow up with some of these other references we made and make it your pursuit. But we are grateful for this opportunity that God has given us in Jesus' name.